Thanks for joining us online at Highland Park Presbyterian Church. We're so glad you're here. On this podcast, you'll hear weekly teaching from God's Word, featuring messages from our incredible preaching staff and a variety of guest speakers. We hope the following message leaves you feeling encouraged and deepens your relationship with Christ. Enjoy the episode, and thanks for listening.
It is my great pleasure today to introduce our preacher, Nikki Gumbel. Nikki was the senior pastor of Holy Trinity Brompton Church in London for 17 years and is now turning his focus to making Alpha even more effective for the next generation. He's the pioneer of Alpha, which originated at Holy Trinity Brompton in London. But Alpha has now gone across the world, and as you've heard, has affected people from all across the world, including myself and my wife. But we get to run Alpha here, and millions, as I say, around the world have come closer to Jesus through Alpha. But Nikki has been involved in so many things, church planting, leadership, the leadership conference, and he and Pippa are wonderful. But I wanted just to do a little brag on Nikki that just this year, King Charles honored Nikki by awarding him the Commander of the Order of the British Empire in recognition of his services to the Church of England. And so we just, that's wonderful. He's also written a number of books, Questions of Life, A Life Worth Living, Searching Issues, all fantastic books if you're exploring faith. He is married to the inimitable, wonderful Pippa. They have 3 wonderful grown-up children and 10 grandchildren. And together they have co-authored the Bible with Nikki and Pippa Gumbel, which I know many of you have followed along with, which is an accessible daily commentary of the Bible in 1 year, which is now used by millions around the world. And Pippa adds, of course, is the best bit. And I had the privilege of working for and alongside Nikki and Pippa at HTB. And I want you to know that individually and as a couple, they're the same behind the scenes as they are up front. Prayerful and dynamic, humble yet ambitious for the kingdom, spirit-led and wise, and just fun and kind. And I love them deeply, and I know you will too. So would you please give them a very warm Highland Park Pres welcome to Nikki.
Thanks so much, Callum.
Nikki,
thanks,
thank you.
Callum. Bless you. Very kind words. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Callum, for your kind words, and thank you for your warm welcome here. We love Highland Park Presbyterian Church. We've had such fun. We've had so many laughs with you and met so many of you. What an amazing congregation. We'd heard a lot about you before, but the half was not told us. We absolutely love this church. And we love Dallas. We love how big everything is here. You have big houses, big cars, big hats, big churches. But more than that, what we've noticed is that you have big hearts and a big vision. And I want to talk to you today about the vision of Jesus, the greatest vision that this world has ever known. And vision, as you know, is the key to life. A life without vision is a life without ultimate meaning or purpose. Helen Keller, who was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, was deaf and blind. And she said, there's only one thing worse than being blind, and that is having sight, but no vision. And of course, vision without action is merely a dream. But action without vision is a nightmare. But if you combine vision with action, as Jesus did, you can change the world. And I believe actually this church, and this is not true of every church around the world, has within it the people and the resources of all of you to make a difference, not just to Highland Park or even Dallas, but to the whole world. How can that be? Well, in the passage in Matthew chapter 9, if you have a Bible with you, I don't know how you do these things here, but Matthew 9, 35 to 38, I will read you. This is the linchpin of Matthew's gospel. So up to this point in Matthew's gospel, Jesus has been doing everything by himself. He's preached the Sermon on the Mount, and then he's done 9 healing miracles. And at this point, this linchpin, he says, okay, I've been doing these things up till now, and now I'm going to send all of you out to do what I've been doing. It's kind of, I was thinking about this, and of course, this amazing church has been through a tragedy with Brian's death. What an amazing couple Brian and Ali are, have been, and what an impact they've had on this church. And it's almost as if it's kind of a new phase in which the message is, now it's over to you. It's everybody involved being sent out. And what an amazing job you have done. Jay, what an amazing guy. As executive pastor, what an amazing job you've done in leading this church. But it's not just Jay. It's all of you as well. Every one of you is involved now in this vision. And in this passage, we see how vision can be turned into action. How can visions become a reality? Here's the first thing. We need to see that the need is urgent. When Jesus looked out at the crowds, he saw they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. In other words, what Jesus could see was beneath the surface. Because superficially, you can look out. You know, in Highland Park, you can look around and people seem to have lovely houses, seem to have great lives. Some are very wealthy. Some are doing very well in their jobs. They have good families. And you can think, all is well amongst my friends outside the church. But when you look beneath, Jesus looked beneath the surface, he saw they were harassed and helpless. That when you look at the Greek words that they are used there in the original Koine Greek, the word harassed means confused, exhausted by life, weary, anxious. People were anxious. This generation has been described as the anxious generation. And then they were harassed and helpless. That means kind of emptiness, aimless, without purpose, no vision, depressed. And so often beneath the surface, Pippa and I have been involved now in, we're just about to start 104th Alpha small group in a row. And I'm always struck, I just think of one particular group we had quite recently, where at the end of the 12 weeks, we had a reunion. And it had come out gradually during the course, but I remember so well this reunion which took place in our home, going round, and every person in the group was in therapy for broken relationships, addictions, different issues. And you would the average age of these people is like 27. Most of the guests on our Alpha course of age between 18 and 35. You would never have known that beneath the surface, people were struggling. Fear, anxiety, depression, relationship issues. And Jesus looked out at the people around and he saw that the need was urgent. So many people are struggling with life today. And then The next thing is that the motive is love. Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. And the Greek word, there's, I'm sure it comes from, it's only used ever of Jesus, this word. And it's the strongest word in the Greek language for love. And it comes from, the derivative is from the Greek word splankna. Splankna means basically your guts, your innards, your entrails. It means that he felt love here. He was gutted when he saw people were suffering. He saw the needs. He loved people. And that's our motivation. I was an atheist. You know, my father was Jewish. My mother was not a churchgoer. And I grew up I became an argumentative atheist as a teenager. And in my first year at university, I encountered Jesus through reading the New Testament. And Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it in all its fullness. And I experienced his love. What amazing testimonies we heard. Maddox talking about struggling with the things underneath that he was struggling with. Dr. Hoy, what a beautiful thing about knowing that Jesus loved you unconditionally. Not because we're perfect, but such love gave me courage, she said. And God's love is a compass in my inner world. I think that was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And that's what Jesus' love, his compassion, brings to our lives. That's what I experienced, his love. That's the message at the heart of the New Testament, that the Son of God loved you. If you had been the only person in the world, Jesus would have died for you. That's how much he loves you. And as Dr. Hoy said, not because we're perfect. We find it hard to believe that God loves us because we know we're not perfect. But God loves imperfect people. We all love imperfect people. We know that our children are not perfect, but we love them. We know our friends are not perfect, but we love them. And God loves imperfect people. And that's the message at the heart of the New Testament, is that Jesus loves you. And he wants you to know that, not just here, but here. How do we know that in our hearts? Well, St. Paul says the love of God, God's love is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's why the weekend, we've heard, is so key on Alpha, because that's the opportunity for people to experience God's love. If you've never experienced God's love, you don't have to wait for Alpha. You can experience that today. It's just the Holy Spirit who brings God's love into our heart. I'll give you an opportunity maybe, well, prayer at the end. If anyone says, I've never really experienced that, to experience God's love in your heart. So the motive is love. And then the trigger is prayer. Jesus says, ask the Lord of the harvest. Ask the Lord to send out workers into his harvest field. Prayer is so important. I know there's a lot of prayer that goes on in this church, and that's absolutely key. Prayer, the most important activity of our lives is prayer. Because the most important relationship in our lives is our relationship with God. That's why for the last 50 years since that day when I encountered Jesus, I've always start every day with reading the Bible, because I want God to speak to me. It's more important that God speaks to me than I speak to him. But then I try to do a prayer walk each day. I don't always succeed, but I try to do a prayer walk each day. Why walk? Because if I sit, I fall asleep. So I find walking is like a slightly better chance that I can pray. But even then, it's not very effective. If I walk for 40 minutes trying to pray, I might only pray for 2 minutes. My prayer life is pathetic. Someone said to me last night that they'd love to be on my shoulder listening to my prayer life. And I said, you would be so disappointed. But I'm encouraged by the words of an Anglican bishop from the 19th century who said this, fear not because your prayer is stammering, your words feeble, and your language poor. Jesus can understand you. The trigger is prayer. And then the potential is vast. Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. The harvest in Highland Park, in Dallas, in Texas, in the United States, in the world, it's huge, absolutely huge. There are so many people out there who do not know Jesus. And I worked out when I'd encountered Jesus that the most loving thing that I could do for the rest of my life is tell people about Jesus. Because I saw the impact made on my life and the impact on my friends around me who'd encountered Jesus. And the greatest injustice in the world. There's so many injustices, and I know this church is very active with the homeless, with the poor, with the... But the greatest injustice, all that is really important, because if you love people, you want to help them at a physical level. But the greatest injustice is someone to go through the whole of their life and never have had the chance to hear about Jesus. And it's such a, you know, it's such a privilege. We've been so privileged to watch people encounter Jesus. I think of the last small group I did when I was a vicar of HCB. We were helping in a small group. And on the first night, you have about 12 people in each group, and you go around the group and you say, how'd you come to be here tonight? And first person who spoke was a guy called Kay, 27 years old, from Hong Kong. He said, I've never been in a church before in my life. London is very different from Dallas. Like Dallas is the buckle, isn't it, of the Bible Belt, or there are lots of places that claim to be the buckle of the Bible Belt, but Dallas is one of those. And lots of people go to church. In London, it's very common. People have never been in a church before in their lives. He said, I've never been in a church. So we said, how'd you come to be here tonight? He said, well, last year, my mother died. And I was feeling deeply depressed. And he said, I was at the point of taking my own life. And I went to visit her grave to say goodbye. And I'll see you later. And he said, as he was leaving the grave, as he's walking along, he noticed on the ground a credit card, a blue Barclays credit card. And he picked it up and he looked at the name on it, and it was the name of a person called Nana. And he'd not seen this person since he was 9 years old. They'd been great friends. They had grown up in government-supported housing, and they'd been friends together, but he hadn't seen. So he contacted Nana on Facebook and said, look, I found your credit card. And they contacted each other. And Nana said, look, I'm also grieving because my brother died this year. That's why his credit card was there, because he'd been to visit his brother's grave. He said, but the difference I'm finding in my grief is my faith in Jesus has made all the difference. Nana is Ghanaian, it's a very strong faith. And so Nana said to Kay, why don't you come along to Alpha? I'll come along with you for the first 2 weeks. So Nana and Kay were in this group. And week five, the person who was hosting the group said, has anybody here noticed any difference in their lives in these 5 weeks? And Kay said, yes, I have. He said, I haven't had any herbs for 2 days. And that's the first time in my adult life that I haven't taken drugs for 2 days. Someone else in the group said, yeah, I've given up the herbs as well. And then someone else said, what's wrong with the herbs? Said, the herbs help me concentrate. He was a rock musician. And on the Alpha weekend, Kay encountered Jesus. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And on the last night of the course, he said to me, would you baptize me? So on our church holiday, there were 8,500 people this year, usually about 5,000 adults, and we found a paddling pool. And we filled it up, and Nana went in the pool with Kay, and one of the other people in our small group went in the pool with him, and Kay was baptized. And another person in our small group also who wanted to be baptized was baptized. And Herman, who was the guy who said, what's wrong with the herbs? He was there watching. And after I'd done the baptism service, he said, could he too be baptized? So I had to do a second baptism service. And you know, I don't know how it is in the Presbyterian, but in the Anglican baptism service, you're basically giving your life to Jesus. You repent of your sins, you turn away from evil, you put your trust in Jesus, you ask to be filled with the Spirit. So it's basically there, Herman prayed that prayer, and he too was baptized. That night, they spoke to 5,000 adults in the Big Top about the difference Jesus had made in their lives. It's such fun to see people encounter Jesus like that. And what could happen with Highland Park Presbyterian Church? You're doing so much. You're having such an impact. What could happen here? You know, everyone can make a difference. I'm sure you all have in your calendars the 17th of April, 2033. Not yet. 17th of April, 2033 is Easter Day, 2,000 years since the resurrection of Jesus. Wouldn't it be amazing if everyone on the planet could have the opportunity to hear about Jesus by that date? Everyone's working on this vision around the world. The Bible translators are getting the New Testament into 99.96% of the languages in the world. Rick Warren is working on a Bible, a believer, a body of Christ in every community around the world. We met in the Vatican with 79 Catholic organizations, all of whom are working towards this vision. Pippa and I are working, if the Lord spares us, towards that date, together with everyone involved in Alpha, to make sure that Alpha is available to everyone on the planet by that date. And everyone can be involved. Every single person can be involved. Everyone can have a vision. Martin Luther King said, everyone can become great because anyone can serve. And you can have a vision for your street. You could have a vision for Highland Park. Some people have a bigger vision. They have a vision for the whole of Dallas. And others, because I know I've met some of you here, who say, well, I've got a vision for the whole of Texas. Others have got a vision for the whole of the United States. And some will have a vision for the entire world. But this church has got such vision. So many people I've met in the last couple of days who are visionaries. And every one of you can be a visionary. You can all have a vision to see Jesus change the lives of someone. And if we do this together, what could happen with this amazing church here, which we love and admire so much, that inspires us? You really could see a massive impact. The vision of Jesus being fulfilled in your street, in your area, your community, your family, your city, your state, your country, your world. In Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we pray? I'd love to give anyone here who would like to do so the opportunity to pray a prayer just in the silence of your heart. If you say, I've never experienced God's love myself, here's a prayer which you can pray. And just echo this in your heart. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that you have compassion on me. Thank you that you love me so much that you died for me. I now turn away from anything that I know is wrong in my life. And I want to receive your forgiveness right now. I put my trust in you. And I ask you today to come and fill me with the Holy Spirit, to give me an experience of your love. Now I pray, Lord, come, Holy Spirit, and fill each person here, every single person here. You're loved by God. Know right now in your heart him saying to you, you are my son, you are my daughter, whom I love. Know his pleasure, his favor. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message and we look forward to connecting with you in person soon. Each week we study God's Word together on Sundays at 8:15, 9:30, and 11 a.m. You can go to hbprez.org/Sundays to plan your next visit and stay updated on our current sermon series. God bless and we'll see you next time.